Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, joined today by John Endres. Let's get into our first news story of today, and this is some comments that the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Minister Ronald LaMola, made while visiting the United States. He was speaking to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation on Friday, and he was giving a speech about sort of the ANC's place in the world and its objectives and how it viewed the government of national unity that the ANC is in. And he said, and this is the quote in the media, he was talking about the fact that some people had suggested the ANC would not accept the election results. And he said, quote, "Despite all those challenges in the elections, the ANC said we accept the outcome of democracy and called on all people of South Africa to work together to form one government of national unity. This is one of the first elections in the world where the oppressor and the oppressed are now working together." He went on to say that the ANC remained the biggest party and therefore was able to kind of direct policy in what he described as a progressive outlook, including a global outlook. "But we have invited the oppressors because the electorate said you can no longer run a government alone." In the speech, it said, "We are a country that has sat at the table with our oppressors 30 years ago, and we continue to work with all race, ethnic, religious, and other social groups to build social cohesion. Democracy has continued to thrive from the southernmost tip of Africa. We believe that, given a chance, dialogue can unite enemies and create bonds that can define people beyond their lifetime." So this idea that the ANC was in government with the oppressors caused a little bit of a stir, to which LaMola responded by saying he hadn't been calling the DA oppressors at all. And he went on to say, quote, "I gave a proper context. The full video will give you a historical background of what I said. We just emerged out of difficult elections where for the first time the ANC didn't get an outright majority to form a government alone. And as a result, we had to form a GNU with a number of parties, including the DA, Freedom Front Plus, and PA and others. I then added the context that we know the DA wasn't part of apartheid. They were not there under apartheid. And we know that they represent the status quo, but despite the challenges and everything, we accept that outcomes needed all political parties to work together. I didn't say because they're from the DA they can't represent government. That for us is a sign that we're prepared to work together in national interest. This was the whole context and the context in all the platforms. The idea was that historically this is what we have done. The context is we're a country that has sat down with our oppressors before to form a government, and now we've got another GNU. It wasn't characterizing the DA as oppressors." John, what do you make of this and what it says about where the ANC is at? I mean, I don't think that's a great defense. I think he's sort of trying to claim that he didn't say what he said. But it's sort of interesting also that he's denying it. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think the fact that he needed quite a lot of words to explain what he mean and didn't mean probably shows that it wasn't well thought out when he said it the first time around. What I think it reveals is that there is a sincerely held suspicion from the ANC directed at the DA, and I'm sure the same is true from the DA sides towards the ANC, where the ANC, have to gulp and blink to agree to work with the DA. That must not have been an easy decision to make, but they did it. And from the DA side, of course, they've been accusing the ANC for many years of being corrupt kleptocrats who can't run the country properly, et cetera, and that probably is also still a sincerely held belief on parts of the DA. Yet they find themselves together in this government of national unity, and I think that this level of distrust and mistrust will continue to exist. I think it is worth making the pretense that it doesn't exist in the interests of keeping the government together and allowing time to heal the wounds that have been struck from both sides. So what we're seeing here, I think, is a little bit of the iceberg peeking out of the water. There's quite a lot of stuff under the surface still. We have to accept that. But I think we should also recognize and respect the fact that these two parties have managed to work together despite their sometimes visceral dislike of each other.
All right, let's move on to our next topic, and this is about the country's inflation rate. Consumer inflation has dipped below the Reserve Bank's target of 4.5% and is now 4.4% in August, down from 4.6% in July. So, a little drop. This is apparently slightly below what a lot of economists surveyed by Bloomberg's thought that the inflation numbers will be, and I'm sure government will be very happy with that. After all, inflation is one of the biggest damages of your political standing in a democracy. People really do not like inflation. This is actually expected to continue to accelerate with fuel prices going down, having already gone down a bit and continuing to go down into October. And there's also been a reduction in housing and restaurant price growth. Food and drink, however, still went up in terms of inflation, which I think is an interesting concern. In fact, since inflation began cooling, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't looked over all the data myself, but my impression is that that has been a number that's continued to sort of, in most cases, go up, which is, I think, not ideal because, you know, obviously food and drink is a big part of people's spending, particularly if you're very poor. But one of the upshots of this is that the consensus among most economists is that the South African Reserve Bank will cut interest rates in the not-too-distant future now that inflation is cooling off. John, your thoughts?
I think we've been quite lucky with the GNU. So it's given us a bit of a boost in confidence, in positive sentiment. We saw news out today that consumer sentiment has lifted to the highest level in the past 5 years, so the highest level since pre-COVID. And I think that's the overall view of the economy. There is a bit of optimism about. And if we're now getting these favorable tailwinds of lowering inflation, that's even better. So that's really good news. As you say, it may point to a drop in the interest rate, which will give borrowers even more relief and give a bit of stimulus to the economy on the spending side. It is worth pointing out here as well that the inflation range, the targeting range that the Reserve Bank follows of 3-6%, used to be seen as something really innovative and interesting in the world of finance. But I think the view has moved a bit away from that because it is now considered that most investors, for example, looking at a range are going to look at the midpoint of that range as the target. And so a 3-6% range is actually a 4.5% target in the minds of most observers. And if you're going to be having a single target anyway, then declare that rather than making it a range. So I think we're going to see some moves from the Reserve Bank to move away from the range targeting towards point targeting. And that point could be even lower than it is at the moment. So rather than 4.5%, the midpoint currently, they could go for 3%. And I think that would be quite a good outcome for the country. Low inflation is good for investment, for consumer confidence, for stability of expectations. Hard to maintain, of course, especially when you're an open small market like South Africa, where a lot of influences from the rest of the world are going to determine your price levels, like your currency fluctuations, like the oil price, for example, plus in South Africa, of course, administered prices and the failures of government, it has to be said, in areas like infrastructure, leading to a systematic increase in costs over time. But if we sort out infrastructure, get the rand a bit more stable, keep inflation under control, then that is quite a good outlook for rising levels of investment and growth.
And definitely. And hopefully following that major policy reform, which would only solidify and accelerate any potential goodness. Okay, let's move on to our last story. And this is about something we talk about quite often on the show, but I think it's worth bringing up this little detail. New data being reported, I think, by News24 suggests that something like 40% of meters of electricity, prepaid electricity meters, controlled by Eskom, the city of Johannesburg, and the eThekwini municipality, are not vending electricity. Well, what does that mean? That basically just means they're not being loaded with electricity and supplying it out. Well, that's a bit of an odd number, 40%, right? That seems like quite a lot. One explanation may be that a very significant number of those prepaid meters have been bypassed, and so someone doesn't need to load and vend electricity from them because they're just simply taking the money straight out of the electricity straight out of the grid by going around it, which is, I think, suffice to say, not ideal. And, you know, prepaid meters have been seen of as a way to try and create more compliance, particularly in sort of lower middle income areas, to get people to start paying their rates. But I think this shows that South Africans are an innovative lot, and we we find our way to find the loopholes if there aren't proper enforcement. So I don't know, John. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's certainly a demonstration of ingenuity on the part of South Africans, but it's also an example that shows us the problem when you have a service or product being supplied that has very high fixed costs. Like an electricity grid, when you get non-payment, so sort of the product being delivered through the wires and cables without being paid for, it makes it much harder to maintain the grid infrastructure because you need the revenue to do that. So next time a transformer blows in your neighborhood, you have to think about the non-revenue electricity that's sort of being supplied without being paid for. That money is missing to replace that transformer. And that's a problem here in Johannesburg, certainly, because we get quite a lot of outages with transformers blowing and equipment breaking down, and it can't be replaced if there's not enough revenue generated to pay for those replacements. It also mirrors the situation we've seen in water, for example, where non-revenue water is a big problem. It's around 45% in Johannesburg. That is water that gets supplied or that leaves the supply system somehow through leaks or being stolen or being supplied to people who can't afford to pay for it, but you know, legally. That money is missing to replace pipes, to fix leaks, to upgrade pumping stations, all the work that needs to be done to secure a good supply of water. So in both cases, non-revenue products are a problem, and that is something that utilities really need to look at very carefully and clamp down on. You need to get paid for the products you supply, otherwise you can't continue to do it.
Exactly, and I think a key link between those two issues is that these are problems that have to be solved with constant, regular maintenance, enforcement, essentially sort of a day-to-day, every single day you make sure that the pipes aren't leaking, that the people are paying for electricity, that the systems aren't blowing up, that things are being repaired before they get catastrophic. You can't just fix them with big old capital injections of huge sums of cash, which is, I think, particularly how the ANC has tried to solve a lot of municipal problems over the past couple of decades. And, you know, this I think, really highlights that issue that doing the small things well day to day is a really important and missing part of why our local governments are not working as they should be across most of the country. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you found the show interesting. We will be back tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.